What's up? What's up? It's me. It's me, the L-E-E-B-O-Y TV, back with another episode of the Prime Nostalgia Podcast with the main man, Prime. You know, that's the P-R-I-M-E. I'm going to go ahead and spell it out for him because, I don't know. How you feeling today, man? You good? Everything good?
What's up? Yep.
So if y'all don't know, can we put your name out there? Did the people know?
Yeah, the people, they should.
We got... Prime, aka Chris. It took me a long time to even find out this man's name. That's a whole nother story. In fact, if y'all,
it's not like I kept it a secret. By the way,
Don't never say. But yes, Prime, aka Chris, and we got a very special guest today who also goes by the name Chris. Also goes by the name Jonesy. That's what I've been calling him, Jonesy. And in fact, I know one of the other name that you got going on is Wade. If you guys can recognize this face, you guys ought to know where that was from. But when you first told me you was Wade, bro, you know I had a whole different Wade in mind, right? There's a different dancer Wade that's also in this same project we're going to be talking about today. Yep. But I was like, you didn't bust up my man MJ, did you? Because we're going to have a gripe. I'm like, wait. He was like, man, I'm Wade from you got...
From the movie.
Go ahead and spill the beans from You Got Served. And I'm like, Wade? Which way? Because I got beef with one of y'all, but it ain't this way. But everybody, this is Chris Jonesy, aka Wade from You Got Served and Mini Projects. We'll be talking about that as well. Say what's up to the people, Chris.
What's up, everybody? Yep, this is Chris Jones, aka Jonesy, or aka Wade, reporting to you from my backyard. It's kind of getting decorated for the holidays, but I'm just glad to be here with you guys, Prime, and good old E-boy here just hanging out and gonna wrap it up, I guess. We're gonna chat on some film stuff, I guess.
Hell yeah. On the Prime Nostalgia Podcast, we discuss all things nostalgia. Me and Jonesy actually met face-to-face a couple weeks ago on a video shoot. You guys will see that soon, where I'm acting a damn fool. I'm going to just go ahead and put that out there right now. I got to get some of my acting chops back, and it was hella fun. But Jonesy was very gracious to let his use his spot where he has dope venues, including open mic night for comedy. And we'll be discussing everything he's got going on in that backyard he's sitting in right now. But like I said, we met face to face and you're just a cool dude, man. I was like, we got to have you on the podcast ASAP.
I heard you were going to be a part of the video shoot through the artist that, you can release that, whatever you got to talk about. But I heard that you were going to be coming on this. And the first thing he says, he's like, yo, I got my boy Leon. He used to be on All That. And I went, All That? I mean, I'm showing my age now. I'll be 40 next year. But I was like, yo, All That is taking it back.
Antennas started perked up. Yeah.
You know, so I was like, yo, I'm anxious. Let me meet this homie.
Well, game recognized game, because as you are a fan of my project, I am definitely a big fan of your main project. Not the only. And in fact, this guy's got a couple of credits we'll definitely get to discuss. But as you guys have heard, he's mostly known as Wade from You Got Served. And there may be a sequel or something popping up. We'll get into that later. So you guys gonna have to stick around to see what's going on with the sequel. But this is the white man with the spike hair and the tan right here. You was like literally the original cultural appropriator. How does it feel to be known as the goon, the what? Bully? And You Got Served that literally tried to take out the whole crew, had no love for Lil Saint, didn't give a damn about Lil Saint. Feeling moves, got Sonny over to your side. Man, you was a master recruiter, man. You got some skills.
We had, it's really funny. I hate to say this, but every film I've ever done since the starting of my career, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but I've always played the bad guy, the villain, the nemesis. It's always been that way. And You Got Served, I already knew I was going to play the bad guy. And, with the blonde spikes, you brought it up, the guy with the tan from Orange County. All you have to say, it's crazy, man, because when I've had to bleach my hair back again for a handful of films, and even with a little bit of highlights, and not a joke, not even kidding, if I put the blonde in my hair and people see me, it's a wrap. They're like, oh, you're that guy. And all you have to say is the blonde spiky guy from You Got Served. They're like, that's Wade. You're the asshole from Orange County. And I'm like, yep, that would be me. So, it felt normal to play the bad guy. I like the nemesis. I like being the antagonist, because it's always interesting. It changes it up a bit and everybody remembers the bad guy. You do. You know absolutely. What I'm saying? So
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There's no forgetting your character. He's literally he's literally the nemesis. You have a friend, I think his name's Max or something. He gets down to you guys are a duo, but it's your crew. You do the major recruiting, which I said, you got skills. You're like, goddamn, the Lakers out here when it comes to recruiting. almost took out the whole B2K and Marcus Houston. but yeah, man, so we'll definitely get into some of the specifics about you got served in just a little bit. In fact, we'll save some of that for the second half, so you make sure you guys stick around. But I wanted to talk about your upbringing, because I believe you're from, is it Myrtle Beach, South Carolina?
Good memory, brother. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Yeah, born and raised, a Southern kid from the East Coast, which I love having Southern roots. I won't lie about that. I come from a good, humble place, grown up, you know, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, please and thank you. Mm-hmm. And but my whole family's an industry family. So both my parents were singers, dancers, actors back in their day. And growing up, my father had a talent agency. My mom had a dance studio, and together they owned a performing arts school. So it was kind of meant to be. I started when I was real young. And I did, you know, I did a lot of work on the East Coast, traveled back and forth to LA and New York as a child. But it wasn't, to be honest with you, it wasn't until I turned 18 in 2000 and moved out to LA. And, you know, already, thank God, at the time I already had an agent. My father had transferred me over to new representation. Immediately got my dance agent, got my theatrical agent, commercial agent. I just went right down the line and got everything I needed. And I started doing the grind just like everybody else does in LA, you know. I was a little blessed for the fact that I had done some work previously. I'd done a lot of, as you and I were chatting before, I did a lot of movie of the weeks and pilots and TV shows and commercials on the East Coast. But I was still green. I got told by many a casting directors, man. Joseph Middleton, I love you. He's a huge casting director. He's done a ton in the game. And he was the first one. He was like, yeah, we got to slow that accent down a little bit and lose it. And we got to get you out of the green zone. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And ever since he popped off with me on that one, it was just like a spiral. But to be honest with you, you know, I've been doing this game in this industry my whole life, but it wasn't until You Got Served when I auditioned, and I'm sure you're going to ask some more questions, but I will say You Got Served was the one that I was able to meet both passions, dance and acting. Right. And, you know, once that hit, to be honest with you, it took my credibility and my career from like a 2 or 3 straight to like a 6 or 7. And then from there, it's just blossomed, man. But You Got Served is, it's my baby. It still is to this day. And I have nothing but thanks for Chris Stokes for giving me the opportunity and chance, man, because it broke everything. It was amazing.
And there's a whole slew of dancers out here on the West Coast that thank that particular project for blowing up the scene. And, you know, we look to that. And I would say the Rise movie specifically for, you know, us clowners and crumpers. And I definitely was part of that community. You know, we looked up to these films quite a bit. And so, like you said, definitely a blessing to be a part of that. But you mentioned that you both of your passions met up during this project. So you would say that you were equally passionate about acting and dancing?
Yeah, I would say that. You know, I never, to be honest with you, I danced my whole life. I did the competitive dancing. I didn't even start, this is so sad to say, but I didn't start doing any style of like hip hop till I was like 13, 14, 15. It just wasn't something. It was basically, it was a culture. It was a street thing. It was an urban thing that you really only found in certain places. And if you were in a club, but I was too young to be in a club, you know what I mean?
Right.
So obviously I listened to hip hop music, but the dancing style was nothing that I was really into till later. But dancing was something I knew was going to be a part of my life for a long time. I just didn't think on ever taking it to a professional level. And when I came to LA, I was like, well, when in Rome kind of deal, I might as well get a dance agent. I'd love to do it. So I got my dance agent and I was like, well, let's see what happens. And believe it or not, I started actually before I booked my first actual theatrical gig in LA, I booked a couple of dance gigs. So I was like, well, why not? Let's just roll with both. You know what I mean? Keep as many pokers in the fire. And that's how it strolled out.
And I mean, if you check out this man's IMDb, you got dancer all over it from Jay Leno. You have a bunch of credits dancing and, you know, I think, and I, like I said, I was very inspired by dancing, and I was a dancer in my own right. I never had a dance agent, but What is it like, the grind as a dancer? Because I always said, like, how can you ever get to the foreground? You're always playing the background. You're always playing behind someone else. But is there a real career out there for a dancer? And did you feel like you had to abandon part of that? And, well, obviously you had acting in your back pocket as well. But what is the grind like for a person that's just only chasing a dancing career?
You know, that's actually a really interesting statement. I'm trying to figure out how to properly word this for you. So the grind for dancers, you know, dance is now, this day and age, you know, we're here in 2021, dance is massive. It is now the, in my opinion, it's the international language. You know, math and music have always been something everybody celebrates and uses, but dance is worldwide now. Everybody either watches it, wants to do it, takes classes, is performing it. I mean, I know grandmas that hit me on the street that are like, oh, you know, they get down, you know, I see it all the time. But the grind, you know, as a dancer, it's tough. I think it's not tough to do the dancing part of it, but it is tough in the fact that you walk into a room, whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're a blonde girl that has, you know, the 6 foot, whether you're blue eyes, brown hair, whatever it is, you walk into a room and you see 50, 60, 150 more of you in the same room.
Right. And they're all good too. Yeah.
And they're all good, you know, and that's the thing. People come out here to do that. So it's, then it becomes, I think the grind in Los Angeles is A, you got to put yourself in front of all the people, you know, constantly take classes, constantly go to auditions. But it's also, in my opinion, the blonde spikes were a very big part of me.
Right.
Is you have to find something that makes you stand out and unique. And it could be anything, but you have to walk into a room and see 50 other homies that look just like you and go, what am I going to do to separate myself from the pack? Otherwise, you just are the guy, like you said, in the back of the room that looks just like everybody else. It's like a cattle call, it feels like. So
right.
The grind is tough. But you know this, man. You're an actor too. You get this. The grind is just as tough as acting because you can have all this talent, but you walk in, they're like, I don't like the way you smile. Boop, you're gone. You know what I mean? Like it's, I think the grind, I give credit to all of it because it's just as hard on both levels. But when I came out again, I was green on all of it, man. I didn't come out to be a professional dancer. I just did it because I thought it was fun and I wanted to keep going with it. And it just happened to work out. But, you know, nowadays, but here's the thing. It depends on what you want to do and where you want to go. Obviously, commercially from film and TV and tours and all that is here in LA. But the biggest grind now is once you start hitting 25, 30, 35 years old as a dancer, the longevity of a dance career, unless you're just a tour baby and go back-to-back tours all the time, it's getting smaller because you got these 15-year-olds and these 14-year-olds that are coming into the game that are YouTubers, TikTokers, whatever.
I was going to say TikTok, yeah. That's all you got to do now.
Into this now, and they just like, you know, you're standing in a, I have friends of mine that are like, man,
standing
I stopped. Yeah, they said, I stopped dancing. I stopped going to auditions. I just choreograph now or do direct bookings because they walk into an audition and you're 35 years old and you look down the line and you're dancing next to 15, 16 year olds, you know, and you're like, what happened? You know, because everybody's dancing now and everybody's good. These kids are forced to learn things via computer, via satellite, whatever it may be. And so classes still exist. And of course we hit a pandemic that wrecked everything. And you see these kids, I mean, you've heard this. There's so much talent that started out just by teaching themselves or learning online. And between Google and YouTube and TikTok now, anybody can do it. It's just a matter of just having that grind in your heart.
So we got to know, are you on TikTok? Are you busting moves on there?
I knew you were going to ask me the question.
Are you doing, is it this one?
No, I did. You know, it's funny. I only have done a handful of TikToks and I wasn't even on my TikTok account, although I do have one and I look at stuff. I've only ever done a couple of TikToks. It was with my niece. And it's one thing you'll learn about me is as much as I'm always the bad guy, I'm a goof. I'm a lovable teddy bear goof. I'm always joking. I'm always acting a fool, being an idiot on TikTok with my niece. I'm not a TikTok guy. I don't know if it's my age. I don't know if I just didn't want to do it, but I did not hop on the bandwagon.
It might be a generational thing because I can't get into it either. It's just too goofy dancing into a screen.
Whoa.
What's up?
Prime's like, I'm a TikToker. What?
We got a youngin around here.
Levo has one TikTok and that one TikTok he's dancing.
I got a couple TikToks.
Well, the main one is the one where you were dancing.
So okay. What was I doing? Was it Rick and Morty?
The Cardi.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did the Cardi challenge.
You did the Cardi challenge? Okay.
Cardi, but I did that with a bunch of all that cast members and child star friends. I killed it though, right? I killed my part. That's all that matters. I held it down.
I'll tell you, I'll have to admit the one that I did, the one that I did do, I hate to admit this, but my niece got me to do it, and she taught it to me. She taught it to me, oddly enough, was the I'm a Savage. Mm-hmm. Classy. Well, yeah, I had to learn that. Okay. I learned it and did it with my niece, and I was like, it's going to pop up somewhere. I'm going to be shot. But it was, yeah, I did it.
Oh, we might have to throw it in right here. No, no, I ain't going to lie. TikTok, it is hella embarrassing, but it is a way to connect with the younger generation. So every once in a while, I got to step out there and, you know, get my Rick and Morty on or whatever it takes. You know what I'm saying? But so is it killing the dance? So you're saying you don't think it's killing the dance scene, but it's just changing everything up.
I don't think it's killing it. You know, people ask me all the time, you know, do you think the market and the industry in dance is oversaturated? Is it too much? Because now there's so many competition shows, there's TV shows, I was watching an episode. My friend is choreographing for the Fuller House, the new Full House, right? And there's constantly dance stuff on there all the time. And so, you know, do I think it's butchering it? Do I think it's hurting it? No, I don't think it is. I think it gives it another realm, right? It's another aspect of dance because, you know, these are guys standing in one spot doing a handful of R movements and some shimmy shakes. Yeah,
that's the part I can't do. Move your damn legs.
That's what I'm saying. You look at me and I'm like, okay, if I do a TikTok, it's going to look like a damn production because I'm going to have a widescreen shot.
Right.
We're going to have we're going to be doing knee slides and, you know, all kinds of, we're going to do it right. But, you know, I can't bash anybody that does TikTok because to each their own. And for some people, that's their only outlet, you know, and pandemic did this to us, man. Think about it. I mean, your bedroom, your bathroom, your kitchen became like your favorite spot to hang out and do things. And if it was going to dance, I guess, you know, between the stove and the fridge, that's all the room you got. So you do what you do.
All right. So you guys heard it from Jones. You have permission to continue with your shoulder shimmies and what is it? Camera tricks. And y'all be coming back on screen. Y'all, it's smoke and mirrors around here for sure. But
I got a question.
What's up, Ryan?
If you were to go back in time and originate a dance on TikTok, what would it be?
Ooh, God, I've never been asked that question. If I was to go back and originate a dance on TikTok, you know, I'd probably, it's funny, my boy asked me about it. I call him my number one fan. It's actually my girl's brother. But I don't know if you remember, but it's something, you've seen it, but I would probably, because I kind of mastered it and it took a while. But I would go back to in the final battle of You Got Served, there's a knee slide that we do that's a circular knee slide on the ground. And I would probably do something along those lines and add something else to it and call it the Wade. You know what I'm saying? I'd probably do something along those lines because for me, if I created something TikTok, it would have to be dynamic. And when I say dynamic, I need levels, I need shift and change. It would be something along those lines. So you definitely see some floor work. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll bring back the Tootsie Roll, brother. I don't know. I'll toss something in there and just mess some people's heads up. You know what I mean?
I like that. Tootsie Roll, yeah. Roger Rabbit. That's up my alley. I will say, though, with your little knee slide dance that you're going to be bringing back, I don't know if that could be a challenge, man. I don't know if too many people could copy that. You know, that's kind of part of the rules. It's got to be easily copied.
It's got to be
like a great challenge for people getting injured.
Yeah, falling down is so much easier. Yeah,
that's the thing about TikTok that, I mean, it's laughable. Well, you can all sit here and enjoy it, but man, I'll tell you, people are fools. The stuff they do just to get a laugh and a like, and I'm like, man, you're gonna break your neck for 10 likes. It makes no sense.
Oh, and they did. and you know, speaking of going viral and being part of great projects, am I trying to just create a transition here? Maybe. But you were part of a great movie back in the 90s. And we got to hear about how you got into this and what your role was. And that was Forrest Gump. I'm sure you
saw it coming. I knew it was going to come up.
It's Gump, man. Everybody loves Forrest.
I will tell you this. Saying, you know, two films that I'm actually the proudest in the world to be a part of, one being a cult film and one being an absolute world cult classic. That's where it kicked off. And I knew you were going to ask it. So with Forrest Gump, I was the bullies that threw the rocks at him and chased him on the bikes. And so with that being said, you know, at the time,
Is that right before Run, Forrest, Run?
Again, this is what I was going to say.
It's
all good. So what's funny is that with that being, you know, again, it was a movie, it was Tom Hanks. We had no idea how big it was going to be. And So we did it, and people always, I think people know my role from that film very well, for the simple fact that if we hadn't thrown a rock at him and chased him, the movie wouldn't exist, because he would not have run.
Right.
He wouldn't have gone anywhere. The braces would still be on. You would not have gotten Run, Forrest, Run. So to be a part of that tagline, and then also be a part of the tagline and You Got Served, which I had the tagline and said, you just mad because tonight You Suckers Got Served.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to be a part of two major, major films in the world and be a part of two of the biggest taglines that people in the world know anywhere you go.
Right. I mean, yeah, you did call them some suckers, man. But also, you know, before, and everyone wants to hear about You Got Served. Like I said, we're going to be talking about the potential sequel. I don't know. There might be somebody's telling me something's coming up. But we also got to touch on really quick, Big Mama's House. Did you get to work with Martin? And what was that like on that set?
Once
he got tackled by Martin,
actually.
The worst part is, so it's once again playing the villain, the bad guy. I was in that particular film, I played Anthony Bishop, which was the bad guy, computer hacker, surfer. And I did get to work with Martin's a couple of times filming. And in the very end, I end up, he chases me. We shot on the Long Beach Pier in Long Beach.
Now, real quick, I'm gonna cut you off. That was like a fantastic chase scene, I just want to say. Like,
it was amazing. Here's the downside, though, and I don't want to ruin it for people, but, you know, movie magic. I did a lot of the running, but I did have a stunt double. So there was a couple of things a stunt double had to do. And it's not because I wasn't athletic enough to do things, but, you know, with film, sometimes they're like, we can't have our actors getting, I'm not Tom Cruise. They're like, we can't have you getting injured on set. We need you. But, you know, once again, it was Martin's great. I got to spend some time with him on set, and then I actually got to spend quite a bit of time with him at the release party and the premiere and stuff, and his family. And Martin was great. He was great with me on set. My friend Mark, actually, who played the dad, the lead guy in that, you've seen him in a ton of stuff. He was like dad on set to me, man. We hung out all the time, and it was a great, great experience working with that. It was a 20th Century Fox film, so, you know, I mean, just going into it, I was like, I saw the first one. This is going to be great. But of course, the bad guy in the end, I die, you know what I mean? I jump off a pier and there it goes. But that was another one. And again, that was when the Spikes were still living large, man. I did a handful of projects with the Blonde Spikes, and they wanted that surfer punk look, and I kept them until one day, man, my manager was like, they gots to go. You're getting typecast. Everything you're doing is the skater punk bad guy. But it was great, man. I can't say anything bad about Martin. He was awesome to work with. The film was a great success. And, you know, as you saw, there was many more after that. So apparently people like Martin in a fat suit. So it works out.
Absolutely. And you kind of alluded to it, that your persona is quite the opposite from the spike hair wave. That's just, I mean, he looks like a real douchebag. Let's just keep it real. But, you know, just being around you and getting to know you has been hella cool. So, yeah, you guys, don't be fooled by the crazy Wade stare downs and everything he got going on in these movies. Hella cool guy. But as far as all the sets that you were able to be a part of, did you ever find one? And I'm hoping that you say it's You Got Served, because there's a great ensemble cast there. Was there a particular set that really felt like home and a family to you, where you were able to cultivate those relationships over time moving forward?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that. My mom brought up to me, you know, up until, and you know this again, being in the industry, that up until you're like 18, unless you get emancipated, you always have to have a parental guardian on set.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything I ever did when I started filming as a kid, I'm a personal guy, man. I kind of fall in love with everybody really quickly. And whether I was shooting for 2 days or 10 days or whatever, I would always go through this like depression, cry, chaos at the end of any shoot, whether I wrapped with them or I just wrapped my shooting days. Because I got attached. But I will say that You Got Served definitely would probably be the one that I got the most attached to, but it wasn't just because of what the film did for me and how I felt about it. It was because, you know, being like I was telling you, a professional dancer and a professional actor, you have these rehearsals that you do for months,
right?
And we're talking, you're rehearsing from like 7-8 in the morning until 7-8 at night, 5-6 days a week, blood, sweat, and tears with these people. Then you end up living on set with them. So you end up, even after rehearsals, you're going out for dinners, you're going out for whatever it is you're doing. And you just develop this bond that's like undescribable, you know? And the saddest part is, I think for me personally, when I do a film, I think I end up just grabbing hold of it even tighter and more because I know that eventually it's going to end. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be an ending to this. The character is no longer going to exist unless there's a sequel. But you have to say goodbye to it. You're going to have to say, and of course you'll get to work with, you know, Chris Stokes, who directed You Got Served. I've done a handful of films with him. He's been a major part of my career as an actor. Awesome. So of course I've worked with his family. And when I say family, the people that he works with, his team, but You Got Served hands down, because I'm working with not only, I think that film, I don't know the exact number, but I want to say with the featured dancers, including the principal dancers and the crews, I think we had something like maybe 70 or 80 dancers. And at that time, when that film was released in 2004, it was the best dancers in the industry. I mean, you name one that you probably heard over can see now, they were in the film, you know, mm-hmm. or they had their hands in the choreography part of it. Some of the best B-boys in the game, some of the best jazz dancers, hip hop dancers, breakers, poppers, lockers, whack. I mean, we had everybody, man. And so for me, it was a blessing that I got to work with people not only that I work with, but that I look up to, that have hired me on gigs. I mean, I was doing a job dancing next to people that used to hire me, or that, you know, it's just, it's one of those things you just never forget. It's always in my brain. I have moments where I reminisce and think, oh man, those days are amazing. And they're still kind of around now.
So yeah, you definitely touched on it there just at the tail end about the culture experience that You Got Served was, as far as the dance community that comes from LA. I mean, you said any and everybody was in it, including the main cast and characters in B2K, Jennifer Freeman, Megan Good. I mean, these, some of them are transplants to LA, but they really represented the culture at the time. And it's the reason why it has such a huge impact on me. So we definitely want to hear a halftime song from you before we get into deep dive into the You Got Served. So what would you want our listeners to hear, whether it's from You Got Served or just your favorite dance song of all time? Because I know you know some joints.
I got to be honest, man, just in honor of You Got Served, and we're talking about it today. I think we have to play some Joe Budden, man. We got to get some Joe Budden.
I think we got to
play it, man. I mean, that's it. That's what I'm saying. Okay. As soon as you hear it, that's the game changer.
Jump Off Joey. All right. So, Prime, before we throw it to Joe, you got anything, or we heading to the break?
So you said, you know, this project had tons of people on it. Tons of dancers and everything. I just want to know, if not for You Got Served, what other project full of dancers would you have wanted to do?
Is there any that you missed out on?
Any era.
Oh, yes. Any era. Oh, man, that's, you know, to be honest with you, that's a good question. I will say, and I know they redid one, but to go back in the day and be a part of the original Footloose with Kevin Bacon would have been epic as a dance film, because it was, again, it was one of those that was, to look at it, it was edgy enough. The acting, you know, it's a dance film, so all the acting is not going to be top notch, but you're going to have moments. But it had a great cast. It had a great storyline. The idea behind it of dance is not allowed. This isn't what we want. You know, coming into a culture that's completely the opposite of city culture, and teaching and showing these people that life is, you know, outside the box, there's more to it. Right. And, you know, it was Kevin Bacon. It was just one of those films that you see and you're just like, oh, and people love it. Everybody loves Footloose, man. They've done Broadway shows for it. They've done TV shows. They've redone it. It's, that would have been one that, as far as a dance film, you know, it was not hip hop, but it was just, to me, it was one of those, I could watch it 10 times and I love it. You know what I mean? So I would love to have been old enough to be a part of that. But if I'm really going to go super, super deep on it, I definitely missed the boat on being a small kid, and I would have done Newsies in 2 seconds, man. So I'd say Newsies and Footloose. I definitely would have loved to be a part of those dance films. I would have done it.
Oh, you know what? Real quick, since you said two, we might as well make it three. You did one when you were real young, one when you were, could have been in the middle. Do you have one that's modern?
A modern one? Yeah, you know, I probably would have come in and done, I'd have been a part of Step Up. I'd have been a part of the Step Up, you know, genre. You know, I did do a Steppin' movie called Steppin'. But when they did Stomp the Yard, that wasn't, you know, I like Stomp the Yard, but it wasn't something I'm like, did I miss the boat on that one? But I think with all the Step Ups, like the original Step Up, I could have stepped into that. I could have done that.
Dope. I mean, yeah. And there's still time. There's still time. We're going to hear about it. You still got the moves. I hope. We're going to find out. But y'all look out for my guy, Jonesy. But for now, we got jump off.
Jump off. Button.
Yeah, shout out.
Pump it up, you came to get it drunk with a dame, but shit is drunk, you came to get it on. More than 5 O's in your bank to get it on. Roll up like that thing can get it on. Plank to fit it on, came to get it on. Hold up, you wanna work that nope. Let me in, let me hurt that till you gotta hurt back. Can't, boo, you gotta slurp that. Can't cut her after we done, it wasn't worth that. Joey ain't responsible for bringing dirt back. Can we back up? She has the bar style and she throwing it up. She drank a little Hypno, throwing it up. But I'm only dealing with freaks that wanna cut mine if you agree and one. Can't go to get it played late night on BT Uncut. Do your thing, let me do my thing.
I mean,
do your thing, let me do my thing. Move that thing, mommy, move that thing.
Come on,
move that thing, mommy, move that thing.
Hustle,
do your thing, let me do my thing.
Pump it out.
I see some haters grilling. I see some ladies chilling.
All right, we are back straight off the jump off. We're going to jump right back into this You Got Served breakdown with my guy, Chris Jonesy, and also known as Wade, not Wade Robson, who's also in You Got Served. This is Wade, I called him earlier, the white man with the spikes and the tan, the rich kid from the Orange OC, County. From Orange County, was on the TV, just patronizing, just giving hell to Marcus Houston's characters. What was the name of Marcus Houston's character? The big old head Marcus Houston. No,
that would be Elgin. His character is Elgin.
You was giving
which is,
him
which
hell.
Is the which is the you know, it's funny when you think of all the names in the movie, but of all names, and I don't even know the history of as to why, because you know, Chris Stokes wrote the script. There was a couple other hands in it, but Chris Stokes wrote the script, and I've never asked the question as to why Elgin was chosen. Why that name? There's got to be like an uncle that he thought of or something. Because
that
that's just
like a
not
grandpa's
a
name. Name. Yeah, that sounds like a granddaddy name.
Elgin. You know
the
what
only
I mean?
Elgin is Elgin Baylor. That's
the only one.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it's a random name for one of the best hip hop movies of all time. It's the most random name in that film.
It sure is. It sure is. And I mean, little issues with names in here, because like you said, your name was Wade and Wade is actually in it. And his name is Wade in there. They couldn't like switch.
Well,
it up.
I'll give you as much as I think I'm allowed to. There's been a handful of stories that I've heard behind this, but the one that sounds makes the most sense. So when I auditioned, I came in, and I already had blonde, spiky, crazy hair. Now, Wade had that for a long time as well, back in his choreography, you know, days and stuff. And from what I understand, Wade was actually good friends with Chris Stokes. You know, Chris Stokes used to be a manager for music groups and all that kind of stuff with IMX, with Marcus Houston and all them, and, you know, B2K, the whole thing. And
had
so
a couple girl groups too, I think, too.
Yeah, so so apparently the role of Wade was actually originally written for Wade.
Right.
And when Wade got the script, supposedly now, this is some hearsay, supposedly he liked the entire thing, but at the very end, when he saw that he had to lose, he's like, I'm not going to lose. This isn't
going to happen. What? Come on, man. You're going up against B2K,
so,
bro.
So he decided to apparently say, I'm not going to do this. Well, then they started auditioning, and he was not going to be a part of the film at all. So I'm assuming they just kept the name. I auditioned. I, you know, had the blonde spikes, which I'm sure inspired Chris Stokes. He was like, oh, this kind of, you know, he saw me act and he loved me as the character, saw me dance. He's like, you're in. So I did it. And then somehow along the ways, Wade gets signed back on to do the film as the host at the end. Mm-hmm. And there's a part, if you watch it, if you go back and watch the movie, because a lot of people have asked me that question. If you go back and watch that final battle when he's introducing the crews and he says, let's give it up for Wade's crew. And as he says it and he points to us, if you look at his face, there's a bit of a like, it's kind of like a smile slash what am I saying slash what the, like, it's one of, you just have to watch it and you'll see what I'm talking about, where there's a moment and he goes, let's give it up for Wade's, like, it's, I don't know how to do it, but if you see it, it'll make sense. So yeah, he was a part of it, which was great because I've worked with Wade. I've known him for years. He's a great guy, incredible dancer, talented times 10. I mean, he was the protege of all time, right? But that, if that helps you out at all, that's what I know to be the story behind the reason there's two Wades in the same film.
I'm satisfied. It sounds good to me. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. but I'm glad, you know, we're here talking with you. We're going to call you the real Wade right now. All right.
Perfect. I'll take it.
And so Wade, as we know, throughout the movie, I mentioned you're a master recruiter, but you start off, you trying to dupe my guy, Elgin, and Omicron's character, Omarion, no, I'm playing, the variant. You're going to try to dupe both of them out of $5,000. You know you rich, and you know they didn't have it.
Right.
And then on top of it, you had to cheat and grab Sonny. And Sonny was out there. He didn't have nothing on how Omarion was doing. I'm going to just say, Sonny, you was lacking a little bit. But I'm sure that's part of the scene. You know, they couldn't have him showing up, Marcus Houston and all everything. But what was it like? Have you ever... What is it like stealing moves? Have you ever seen anything like this in real life?
You know what's funny is I've never stolen, you know, as far as dance right. moves or anything. I've never stolen anything, no, which is kind of crazy because people do all the time, and there's no really copyright or patent anything in dance. But you know, it's interesting with the helicopter coming across. With that whole situation, it's interesting because I remember reading it in the script. You know, I remember I got the sides for the auditions, and then finally they were like, "You're in. We love you." You know, and you know this, there's multiple changes in scripts. You get the green pages and the pink pages and the blue pages. Mm-hmm. But I remember the original script, I remember reading this, and I was confused with the whole me stealing somebody, because I already knew, I mean, I was already douchey enough by coming in, rolling up in my fly car at the basketball courts in the hood with these guys who literally could barely afford a cheeseburger. And I'm rolling up in my fly car with my fly outfits, tossing out challenges.
Yeah, Mustang.
You know, and I'm trying to get them for $5,000, which, okay, it makes sense as far as a battle, a challenge, sure, knowing they didn't have it. But then for me to come in and just steal one of their homies, I went, God, this is like, this guy really sucks. Like, this character, he's a douchebag, but I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? Alter ego, I get to play it. So.
I mean, and it kind of speaks to should dancers be able to patent moves? Like, you see what's going on in like Fortnite, and there's so many marketing campaigns that come actually from dancers, and you see them get ripped off all the time.
Yeah.
Are you part of that community where people are looking to fight for those type of rights?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's this thing called a lot of people, you know, out there that listen to this, that probably don't know this. There's SAG and there's AFTRA for the union for theatrical and stuff. There's a company, not a company, it's an organization called Dancers Alliance. And it's not a union. It's like an unspoken union. It is unionized. There's dancers that are all a part of it. We have spokespersons and presidents and all this, but it's not something that there's not an actual union for it. Right. But like, if you book a dance gig, your agent's going to say, we want you to pay Dancers Alliance rates. So there is like a union for them. And with this union, they have get togethers all the time. They have big events and stuff. There are people out there fighting for that because it happens. You know, it's kind of hard in the dance world. If somebody says, I did this cool knee drop, right. Or somebody that, you know, created the old school lockers and everything. And hip hop, honestly, in my opinion, everything originated from the streets, and it did come from the original lockers, the original poppers, the original whackers, the breakers, the boogaloos, all these original people. They started and it evolved. Taking a move and altering it is one thing. To take something and claim it as yours is a whole nother ballgame, right? It happens all the time. And there is, as far as I know, we're still fighting for it, but there's nothing out there. There's no consequences for somebody to take something other than you're burning a bridge. You might have somebody coming at you. You know, if you're trying to be a dancer and you get caught doing this, you'll never work. But as of right now, there's nothing out there. But I do think that there should be some form of some copyright, some form of, you know, copycat, whatever this is, because dance is just like any other thing. It's a job. It's an art. And it's something that people work really hard at, man. And, you know, that kid, like you brought up on Fortnite, the kid that did that on was it Katy Perry or whatever the stage was that did it. And they jacked it from him, but it was his. He made that. The floss was his move.
Right.
And so there are people out there fighting for us to get it done. But I don't see that happening anytime in the near future. I think dance is too big, brother. It's too big.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, I mean, and definitely don't want to put any shade on the projects of of You Got Served at All, but you can see that they took a lot of the moves literally right from the clown dancers and put them right into the movie. It's great that you guys had, it sounds like you guys had the entire LA community to like give them their props at the time. So that's right. What they would obviously that they would hope for and look for. So,
right.
And, but at the same time, you know, you want them to use your moves. It's just hopefully one day we'll set up some type of way for everyone to get credit and paid the way they should.
Credit. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of it's, and the thing is too, it was really crazy that I loved, you know, you brought up earlier about being, you know, with family and, you know, being with all these people, amazing people in these surroundings for the film. You know, we had Dave Scott, who was the quote unquote executive choreographer, right? But then you're in these rehearsals, you're locked into these studios for hours on end. And you're doing this choreography on breaks, you're messing around, you're playing around, your people are throwing things. You can't take 70, 80 of the best dancers in the game, stick them in a room, telling them to dance and expect not things, collaborations to not happen, things right. to mold. Somebody to say, oh, I did this. Oh, let's mix this with this. Let's change this up. I mean, that was what made it so unique at the time is it was a literal blend of everything, man. There was just a little bit of everything in one film. You know, nowadays it's just, you had Rise, it was all the crumping and the clown dancing, right? You had, you know, you have these movies that are nothing but jazz, or you have West Side Story that's about to come out, which I can't wait to see. I can't believe I haven't seen it yet. But you know, that You Got Served was such an eclectic mix.
Well, yeah, you guys had the break dancing is very prevalent in this. And, you know, some of the highlight moments are definitely breaking. But then, like you said, they have crip walking, they got clown dancing, they got a little bit of crumping, they have like traditional street choreography. And every single part definitely plays its part. Like, in fact, what was one of your favorite moves? If you could, I remember when they had, Orion flip everybody off and they was...
Oh yeah, yeah. My favorite one, and it was actually used as part of the trailer. You have to go back. It's in the it's in one of the final battles when we're wearing the velour jumpsuits, the Adidas velour jumpsuits. But it's the one where we're all doing something, we're rocking, and I can't remember the song we're using. But there's a scene where all the dancers line up in front of us, and me and Robert do this like huge butterfly jump over the top of them, mm-hmm. and land to the floor. I'm an athletic guy, man. I love to move. I love to groove. I'm very proud to say that I'm trained in most styles, including technical aspects of jazz, tap, ballet, all of that, all the way up to hip hop, breaking, locking, popping. But I'm very athletic, so I love anything that puts my body to an absolute challenge and beatdown. I mean, I'm almost 40, and my knees. I'm surprised I'm still walking, bro. Because I beat myself up. But that was one of my favorite battles. Where, believe it or not, we're actually in the end. There is the one scene though where you see me clown walking, bro, and they're all on the ground, and I'm the one that's doing the jump, lifting it up top.
Oh no, you had a mean heel toe. You was going.
We were up, and I was doing it, believe it or not, on set in the warehouse that we shot downtown LA. I was actually doing that as a joke, and Dave was like, "I like it. Let's keep it." And Chris came in and was like, "Yeah, let's do this. Let's make this an isolated shot. We'll use you because it'll be a good dynamic during that battle scene." Because of course that's
up there. Yeah, you were jumping up there. We were up there.
Like I said, anything athletic, man, I love it. I've used that to my advantage in multiple cases. So
dope. And I'll just say one of my favorite moves of yours.
Oh, the silly face.
Well, y'all, that's one I stole for sure. Look, I was using that in all my battles for sure. Me and the homie Mike was killing with that one. Is that something you guys came up with, or did you have
actually, I gotta give you that was Robert Hoffman. They played Max. That was him. Yeah, because he had quite a bit of choreography with Wage Crew. He put it because Robert is he's an incredible dancer. If anybody follows him, he's a great guy, good dancer. And he's again technically trained, but what makes Robert awesome, Robert's a big goofball too. And a lot of his choreography he has these gimmicks. He does all these gimmicky fun things, you know what I mean? And that was one of those. We were all sitting in rehearsal and he's like, "Let's try something." And we all stood in front of each other and Robert, he's got a website, I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called punchrobert.com or something. But anyways, he's always doing dumb shit. And it was one of those things we were all playing around and we looked at it and then we all did it together in the mirror and we went, "This could work. This could work." And then it became part of one of the dances, one of the routines.
And you mentioned Dave Scott a couple of times. How famous of a choreographer is he? Did he do all the B2K stuff?
That's where he got from. I don't know the history before B2K, but I know that's how I met him. He was doing B2K stuff. He started out with them. And I know he had some other artists that he was working with. I just don't know who really. I don't know the history. But Beach 2K was a big deal. That's how he got involved with Chris Stokes. That's how he got involved with the film, obviously. And that obviously took him to the top. And he's, for a while, he was working with a ton of artists. I know he was still teaching a ton, traveling the world, doing all kinds of things. And yeah, he's still in the game and going to be part of, you know, upcoming projects and just keeping it moving, man. He's still, I mean, everybody, even though everybody's getting older, the one thing I will say is, and you know this, you're a dancer, man. If there's one thing that keeps you young, keeps you in the game, keeps you feeling good, keeps you fit, dance does it, bro. It really does. I know 60-year-olds that are still throwing down and can throw down with me in 2 seconds. You know what I mean? So
nice. Nice, nice. Prime, you got anything? I know you had to watch some of these dance battle scenes, 60-year-olds, man. 60-year-olds, though? Hey, they be getting down, down, down. All right, so now we've gone through a whole lot of our favorite moments from You Got Served. If you guys haven't seen it, definitely go back and watch it. Cult classic. The story is amazing. Lil Saint is all up in the mix. And then there's this whole battle. This is the main antagonist right here going up against Marcus Houston, going up against Omicron. my guy Omarion. And if you want to see a real professional on both the acting and the dancing tip, this is your man right here. I must say, though, we've talked about a sequel. You've given me some information and confidence. Hopefully, okay, we can talk about this just a little bit. We got to know. What you going to be doing in the sequel? Do you still have the moves? That's my main question.
I still do have the moves, yes. I can give you a little bit because everything is in the pre-production part of things right now. So I can't give away too much, but just know that I will say You Got Served is not dead. You Got Served is still alive. Hey. And winners will take all. I will leave you with that, saying that. There's a lot of great talent. And yeah, keep your eyes and ears open. I don't want to spoil too much. Just know that things are not over yet.
Now, I don't want to get too specific because, like we said, the original cast, amazing. I mean, even from some of the cameos, you got Steve Harvey, Lil' Kim, so many people popped up in these movies. Can you put a percentage on how many cast members we'll get back, whether it's 5%, 10%? We don't want to ask about too many specifics, but just how many people are we getting back from the original?
I'll give you like a 50%. How's that?
Hey, sound? I think that sounds amazing. That's it. It sounds like a good sequel in the making, if you ask me.
The thing
me.
Is, here's what I'm going to tell you about a sequel for a movie like this. When you think about You Got Served, you know, it was a movie back in its day. It was groundbreaking for the simple fact that we had nothing like that, you know. And what's cool about it is to this day, with a sequel, you will have all these people that watched it back when, I mean, I've met people on the streets that were like, that are now in their 20s, right? That are like, man, you're the reason I started dancing, bro. Like, I saw this movie and it got me hyped. And so you're going to have this generation of people that are going to go see a sequel.
Absolutely.
But they're also going to bring their little ones, their cousins, their friends that don't know about it to come. And because a sequel will be current to the times, but also have enough of what it used to be in there, it's going to create an atmosphere for everyone in the theater to A, love it, B, walk away happy and excited, and C, want to dance even more.
Oh yeah, and I don't want to do too much speculating, but I'm hoping that, and you mentioned the new generation coming up, that you guys are going to be incorporating some new talent. I'm sure there's a whole TikTok community out there that's just dying to get into this. Hopefully y'all can move your legs, all right? Ain't no non-leg dancing in this movie, all right?
Well, and this is the thing, too. This is the thing. You know, originally when it was created, it's the original You Got Served, man. You got to think about this. You know, like I said, there was an executive choreographer and then a trickle down effect of more choreographers and then a ton of dancers. So it was just one huge collaboration, for lack of a better, you know, to be honest with you. Nowadays, you've got so many people out there that are established, that are able to create, that are, you know, it's like you look at, for instance, breakdancing. It's still going to be relevant. It's still there, you know, in the world. You look at breakdancers and you're like, I mean, for crying out loud, it's going to be in the Olympics. You know what I'm saying? Right. So you look at it and you're like, oh my God, he just did 17 head spins and he just did this. What else could they do? And then you watch another battle or you see something on TV, you're like, I mean, they're just shy of flying. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So with knowing where things are evolving and going, there to have a film, the film, you know, it can't be shorter than 2 hours. I can tell you that, because you gotta have enough dance. And that was the one thing I will say about You Got Served. Unlike a lot of the other dance films, and with a sequel that will be kind of the same, is, you know, You Got Served, whenever you'd watch the film, you'd have enough acting. You're like, yeah, but I'm watching a dance film. And then they throw some dance in there and you'd be like, I'm hyped. And then you're like, wait, but I need storyline. They paced it well. You know, there was just enough dance and just enough story. The story was simple, very MTV generation, easy to understand. So that being said, a sequel is going to follow that same formula. I mean, let's be honest. Every dance film pretty much follows the same formula. There's not really a much outside the box. But I can tell you that with a sequel, it's going to be amazing.
And if you guys haven't seen the first one, you know, the dancing is great. It's good for the time. It represented the time. And I'm excited for the prospect of them to do that same thing again, because a lot of times, you know, sometimes the honey, you know, could be a little bit behind the time. She's like doing this.
Right.
But when it comes to You Got Served, those were moves that were actually going on at the time. Like you said, they really cultivated a great culture of dancing right there. So I'll just put this out there. If you guys are looking for any Instagram dancers, no, not me. King of Spank. I'm gonna just put out that name because he's a good one. So yeah, look out for King of Spank. But we definitely got to touch on some of the things you got going on now outside of You Got Served.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, but Prime, what you got for us?
I have one question.
What's up?
And it's just, I'm sure it's probably a given.
Mm-hmm.
Will the hair and the look return? Yeah. Okay. All right.
The bleach is coming back.
I will tell you this. I had to, on that note, this is actually really funny you say that. I did a film with Chris Stokes called, this is a good plug for this. I mean, it's been a couple of years now, but it's a great one to see. It's called Battlefield America. It was basically You Got Served with little kids. And Marcus and I were in it playing completely different characters. And we're basically the coaches of these crews, because it was basically You Got Served, but for little kids. It's the best way to put it. And when I booked it with Chris Stokes, you know, I played a completely different character, completely different, like, name, everything. And he goes, can we bring like blonde, but just a different version of the blonde, maybe a messier look, maybe something in the hair, just to bring, because people are going to see your face. They're going to see dance and it's going to draw them to it. And I went, okay, let's do it. So we did it. And I don't know if the 1990s, early 2000s, big, long, crazy Orange County spikes will be back like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you blonde will have to be a part of it all, because it's,
oh yeah, you're just gonna have a fade on the side now. That's
bro, I was just gonna say a fade. I'll have a little more beard and, you know, yeah, than just a goatee. Because I mean, think about it, man. It really is one of those things. You think You Got Served and you say blonde spikes, people know exactly what you're talking about. So
that's way, and not that way, the real way.
Real way.
Real way here. And so yeah, before we close out, man, just tell people what you got going on in that amazing backyard of yours.
Yeah,
about, so comedy nights that I'm hoping to be a part of one of these days. I'm gonna come through.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, it's cool with you know, film stuff is going great, man. Keeping it moving, still teaching and choreographing. You know, when I had, you know, pandemic kind of threw things off for a loop, but working with some new artists, so that's still great. I love teaching. You know, something I love doing is keeping it real with the kids. At conventions and studios around the world. So got that going on as far as the career and keeping it moving. You know, you're going to see me. There's, you know, Chris Jones is always going to be here. And then on the flip side, one of my favorite things I'm doing right now, I got to say this. So my girl, Brittany, she's in the industry kind of on a different realm on the other side of it. You know, she's a videographer, photographer. She's into fashion. She marketing, producing. She does everything. She's amazing. But we've teamed up together, and I teamed up with her because she started it and did it. But now we've got this this amazing thing happening at our home that we've created this amazing backyard, and we use it for events. We rent it out all the time for music videos, which is where I met you.
Right.
Music videos and events and stuff. But we also do comedy. We produce comedy shows, and we have the big stage that's across the pool in the backyard. That we do the big shows, and then we do open mic nights every Wednesday. We do that. We have the garage set up a little more intimate and amazing. And in fact, we've actually, I wish there was a way I could show you the whole backyard, but this weekend we have a really cool fundraiser we're throwing. And it's just, yeah, man, it's something that's also, you know, as you and I were talking earlier, I'm one of those guys, I don't like to, I can't sit still too long unless I'm watching a movie. I'm a dancer. I'm always moving. I'm always doing something. I'm always got a project. I love keeping things, you know, in the works. And this has become another like passion of mine is producing, you know, being behind the scenes. My girl and I are talking, we want to write, we want to do more video stuff together. But right now I'm still here, man, keeping myself relevant and in the scene, in the game. And I'm here. What?
And if people want to see that backyard, give them the Instagram so they can check it out.
The Instagram handle for that is Club B Nightlife, C-L-U-B-B Nightlife. Check us out. You can obviously hit me on all social media platforms at Jonesy, J-O-N-Z-I-E 736. Jonesy 736 is my handle. And this is not the last you'll see of me, man. You got some more films coming out that you're going to be pretty excited about that we kind of touched on a little bit. And sure.
I mean, hopefully we can have you back. If you don't get too Hollywood on us, you know, Wade is about to be out of here, baby.
Nah, you know that. I can't get too Hollywood. I got too many people around me that keep me. Again, I'm from the South, man. I got people that'll punch me in the face real quick if I get too big for my britches. So keeping it moving, keeping it popping. And I'm just glad, you know, Prime, I got to meet you and hang out with you a little bit. And Leon, man, my homie, I'm so glad we made this connect, and this will not be the last. And I want you at open mic night. Here, hang with me and Britt, bro.
It's time for me to get up back on that stage. And just while we're peacing out, you can find me at LeeBoyTV.com, at LeeBoyTV on all socials. Also check out Magical Life Media, where we're doing some Disneyland stuff. You know, I got to be with the fam. We do our thing. So catch us at the parks on that page as well. And yeah, just tap in with your boy. Hopefully you'll have some footage of me on stage soon at Club B.
And, absolutely.
And Prime, what you got for us? Close us out.
Twitter and Instagram at KVNG Primetime. Podcast page is Prime Nostalgia Pod. And if you want, you know, y'all can follow 80s, 90s, and 2000s because I do that too. And I don't got nothing else to say. I'm just here.
So yeah, this won't be the last you'll see me and Jonesy together. It's been a blessing. Thank you for coming to bless the program and blessing our platform. And y'all go see You Got Served once it comes out. You heard it here first. Now go check it out and support. All right,
let's do it. Thanks for the support. I love you guys, man. I'm glad I could do this. Leon, I'll hit you later. You guys are amazing. Right. Prime, you take care of this boy. You guys be good.
And on that, Prime Time is
all the time.
All the time, baby. We out.
Thanks for tuning in to the Prime Nostalgia, the podcast dedicated to entertainment from childhood. That's 80s, 90s, the latest 2000s. Cause Prime know it all, and Lee Boy be wild. And he's from all that, dropping gems for you to find. So that's orange, the light is line. Prime Time is all the time. We talking about the classics, and there's so many. That's Lee Boy TV and Prime.